Welcome to the Shutdown Full Cast. I am Spencer Hall. I am joined, as always, by Jason Kirk and Ryan Nanny. We talk about college football. This is the Week 9 review show, and Week 9 is taking out the trash week. All kinds of trash, all kinds of refuse, all kinds of, I don't know, second-tier teams hiding as first-tier teams, finally being given the heave-ho, sent to live with the hoi polloi where they belong.
That's go on, get!
Get! That's what this week was. Go on! Yeah, yeah! Kind of week. But before we do that, I have to tell everybody about my achievement today. I'm very proud of it. I killed a bear.
What did you use to kill the bear?
Well, let's see. In Red Dead Redemption, the best way to kill a bear is with a real big gun. But I let my friend take the big gun, which wasn't real smart, because I decided to stay up in the mountains and just hunt by myself, because I thought, I'm a G. I could take this bear. I got it. Turns out I could take the bear. However, the problem was, when taking the bear, how do you think you want to bring it down? One or two shots. Clean, right?
From a distance, yeah. Maintaining distance, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you do not want this to be a personal interaction.
You don't want to get into a melee fight with a bear.
You don't want reach to become an important metric between you and the bear.
I'm armed with a mace and flail.
I got this. What? He can only stand for limited amounts of time. How good can he be as an animal? And you don't want the bear to know it. You don't want this to be a personal thing. You don't want the bear to be like, you, later. That's not something you want to happen, right? So I should have had the big gun. Did I have the big gun? No. What did I have? I had a revolver. Did I get it out and get the draw on him? Yeah. True facts. True facts about a bear. It takes more than 6 bullets to kill him. The first 6 just make him mad.
You saw a bear, a legendary bear, no mm-hmm, less, mm-hmm. and said, draw, motherfucker.
The time-honored tradition of pistol dueling is upon us. I challenge you, Sir Bear. 20 paces. Yes, I will show you what a pace is.
I put 6 in him and went, Riverside, motherfucker. And he went,
I will defend my wife's honor, dear bear.
You have insulted her, you cur.
Yeah, it turns out that's not how you do it. I had to take this bear down like it was a mob hit gone wrong.
Blah, 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 blah. This bear has extorted the honest businessmen of this town for too long.
Timmy Two Times says hello.
The carcass of this bear.
How many shots did it take you to put this bear down?
I think it was 18. I think it was a full 6, 6, and 6, right? I put the devil's...
You're not even close to what West Virginia did then, so you should feel fine.
No. West Virginia will take a bear down. It took him, 7 minutes? I think we're tied, yeah, actually.
That was a clean shot.
Yeah, that
they
was...
took down 100 bears just like that.
But they went over to the body and were just like, blam, 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 sticking M80 in his face. Blam, 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 blam.
That would be if the bear were throwing bullets at you, saying, take him! Here! Keep going!
Reload!
Reload here! You dropped your gun? I got one you can use!
Here's a health pack! I don't even know what that is!
Yeah!
I got you body armor! I love you!
Yeah, so I had to, unlike West Virginia, who tidily put away the Baylor Bears on Thursday night in about 7 minutes, after 7 minutes of running around and screaming and discharging a pistol into everything in range, including boulders, weeds, probably my own foot, I don't know, it was hectic.
Listen, West Virginia missed a couple field goals too, it's fine. The result was the same, dead bear.
So, when you skint this bear, do you remember what grade you got for it? Like, what quality the hide was?
What are the qualities?
So, if you take down an animal with, like, bow shot to the head, you're probably going to get a perfect quality hide.
This was not
Whereas
a perfect quality
hide. If you riddle it with cannon fire, it's going to say, like, poor bear hide.
I believe this would be poor. I'm just going to go ahead and summarize that
it's like... It's like allegedly a bear hide.
Spencer made a bearskin colander.
I did. Somebody's going to be eating this bear meat later and go like, ding! and spit the bullet into the tin. You walk up to camp
like, well, here's a wading pool full of hair. How much you give me for it?
See, it's actually enriched because it's got extra lead in it.
It's got iron.
It's a mineral. Yeah, it's got iron. Lots of iron in it.
This here's a drawing of a bear.
It's a Swiss bear. It's supposed to have those holes in it.
It's the fishnet bear. It's the sexy one.
Ooh, I'm a ghost of a bear.
Oh, yeah. So I didn't see the grade because I was probably too traumatized. Actually, this is my favorite. The accidents in this game are my favorite. I have two. And then we'll talk about football. The first is after I killed the bear and I was toting it down the road, right down the mountain, I went to go get something else because my health was really low because a bear had hit me a couple times. Bear just bitch slapped me.
Just like the old one, too, from the bear.
Thought I need, so a can of beans fixed that right up. Did a bear hit you? Yeah, just eat some kidney beans. You're good.
Rub some peaches on it.
Yeah, have some peaches and beans. Be amazing. I did that, and when I was trying to get to it, instead of going for the peaches and beans, my finger slipped, and I just downed a whole bottle of bourbon. which made sense, right? The game was like, no, this is better.
Congratulations, you're a Kentucky doctor now.
Oh, God.
I just blasted a bear to hell.
just nearly died. Had a bear bite me on the chest and rip up my clothes. Scariest thing that I'll never be able to unsee. Wake up screaming in the middle of the night for the rest of my life. Come here, Jim Beam. Come here, Kentucky smuggler.
So drunk you stumbles in back to camp with a bear that looks like it's been through a cheese grater.
Yeah, basically.
What? Everything's fine. Stop looking at me.
Which is just proof that who you are in video games is who you are in real life. There's no difference.
You said get a bear, I got a bear. Well, you got a quibble. Well, you got a quibble over details. No, you're drunk.
I was going to eat some food, but I accidentally drank a bunch of bourbon.
What? No, the bear ain't drunk.
He's dead. He won't have this hangover. He's the lucky one.
Jason, have you done anything quite this stupid in this game yet?
I did not fight the bear at that point in the story when it was like, you going to stick around and bring down this bear? I'm like, no, bye.
Which again, whoever you are in real life, Jason's like, oh, that's not sensible. I don't have the right equipment. Me, I got 22 bullets in a bottle of bourbon. This is going to be
fine. I got a revolver.
I know where beans are.
I've done my share of blunders in the, I feel like every waking moment since this game came out that hasn't been working, which it's really not that many moments I've spent with this game. And I hope that continues as long as possible. I think my favorite moment so far was, someone caught me doing outlaw crime. I forget what I was doing at the time. What are you, a cop? And, you had to go chase this guy down so he doesn't squeal. And he ends up falling off a cliff and he's hanging on the edge. And like, it gives you all these little moral choices about whether, you know, you could save this guy, you could pull him up and say, you know, I'll kill you if you talk, or you can just like push him off the edge right there. Well, there's a lot of buttons. I pushed the wrong one and I blasted him in the face with the sawed off while he was hanging on the edge of the cliff. So like, I didn't just like grab his hands and like scar Mufasa him. No. I blasted his entire body from the top down, and it, you know, it gave me like the little like you gained an evil point thing. Like, shit, I'd say so.
All right, so here's what I'd like to do going forward. This is a little bit of a homework assignment for each of you, but I think it will be an easy and a useful one. Just in between episodes, just like when you do something really stupid, just make a note somewhere so we can come back to it. I would like to keep this as sort of a running, what's the dumb cowboy thing either of you two did.
I've remembered my second thing.
Jesus Christ.
I might as well tell you now rather than writing it down.
Sure.
There is a moment when you're coming back from the bear where you hear a guy go, Jesus, help me. He's being ripped apart by wolves. And you go and it's a great game. And you go, like me being the good Samaritan, You know, you could just ride on by, right?
Please, Jesus, help me.
If you do that, it's just like, well, that's an evil point.
Yeah, I'm just listening to this podcast on my horse.
That's as bad as shooting a man hanging off a cliff in the face.
Exactly, it is.
No, it gets better. So I went over and I shot the wolf off him, right? Because I thought, cool, I'll get a wolf pelt too. It did say poor wolf pelt, which I now understand. At first, I was like, why are we being judgmental about his income?
Low credit cool. Wolf pelt.
Low credit, yeah. This is busted ass bankrupt vape shop owner wolf pelt. What?
Student debt wolf pelt.
I'm going to leave that one on the ground. The guy is laying on the ground and it says, well, you know, you can give him some first aid. And he's like, Jesus, it hurts. It hurts. And me being very sympathetic and criminal, I was like, here, why don't you have this stolen medicine that I have? And he goes, that won't do anything here. I'm bleeding out. And the option that comes up isn't help him. The option that comes up is target. As in, you got to put this dude out of his misery. So I was like, okay, bro, I'm ready to do this. So again, learning the controls. I was going to shoot him in the head for a quick and merciful end. I didn't move the cursor quite fast enough, and instead I just gut shot him, and he's like, Why, mister?
So, shot him in his already injured leg.
Hold on, you're going to need more beans.
Let's pour some beans on that.
You're going to need a lot of beans for this.
Hang on, buddy, I'm going to go to town and get some potatoes.
So I tried. I was like, okay, I'll get him in the head this time. Nope. Just put another one right in his stomach. And he's like, you son of a bitch. And then he died. And I was like, well, I'm going to go back and, I guess, sell this bear soup that's on the back of my horse. It's been a great day out here.
Did you get poor person pelt?
I was watching with my wife, and she goes, well, you're going to loot his body? And I was like, cold-blooded.
Jeez. So you do have a code. That was my next question.
Oh, no, I looted his body.
Okay, good.
Yeah, wasn't my fault.
Listen, we're outlaws here. We're just trying to get by. We got to do what we got
to
do.
Hey, those three crackers weren't going to do anyone any good out there. I had to take them.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing also. You can get like a felony for like stole three crackers off a dead corpse. Somebody will be like, witness. And I'm like, snitch.
I think my favorite thing about the law enforcement in this game is like comparing it to Grand Theft Auto, which is like, you know, you punch someone and like within 3 minutes there can be tanks bearing down on you, you know, whereas in this game, like I had a bounty on me for like hours. Nothing came of it. Like the map was red, like don't go here. Cops are looking for you. There are no cops. There's
cops are looking for you. Okay, I'll go camp in There's an like ice one cave cop. For 10 minutes. It'll be fine.
I don't want to leave either Thursday Night Football or the mention of looting corpses behind without noting that Georgia Tech ran for 465 yards on Virginia mm-hmm. Tech. How many times did they throw the ball?
Uno.
Once. Yeah. One time.
Once.
And what was the... What was the result of it? Was it the quarterback falling down and the ball hitting the turf? Yes.
They held the ball for 42 minutes. Spencer, if you did not put that poor wolf man out of his misery, Paul Johnson certainly did not do that for Virginia Tech either. Bud Foster, Bud Foster wants to die. Just kill me. No.
You know what? I'm listening. I got a triple option here of ignore, ignore, and ignore. And I think I'm going to choose all three. Woo! Yeah, that was it. By the way, it's a vintage quote. It's not a Paul Johnson quote. John McKay, I believe, has been credited with using it. So has Herschel Walker. It's a football lore quote. However, when Tobias Oliver, who came in for the injured Taquan Marshall and did brilliantly for Georgia Tech, when someone asked Paul Johnson if he was concerned about Tobias Oliver's number of carries, the quote in return was Paul Johnson saying, the ball ain't heavy. Yeah.
And now we live in a world where Virginia is the only ranked team in the Coastal and leads the Coastal. 2018. It's weird, isn't it?
For now.
One while we're going through in priority. Because you can come back. And Friday had...
What kind of priority are we talking? Oh, yeah. Calendar priority.
Yeah, calendar priority. Because Friday
did have a game worth talking about, didn't it? Didn't it, fucko?
Indiana, Minnesota?
Well, that one wasn't
bad. Are you referring to Utah being the only Pac-12 favorite to not lose?
In retrospect, yeah.
To not only not lose, but again, continuing its rampage, pile driving UCLA 41-0.
Close enough.
Yeah, man, Utah's mad. Don't talk to him. Don't look at him. Right? Don't. You'll have to run around them with a pistol, shooting them with 40 to 50 bullets just to get the job done, all right?
Do you know how many Utah passing yards you need to get 41 points?
On using my Utah conversion math, I would go 114.
I'm going to go 11 or 12.
145. Very close, Spencer. Very, very close.
And I was under, so I get the showcase.
Congratulations. Now you get to be a UCLA fan as well.
Yeah, just...
No! Man. The taxes alone!
Oh, God. Yeah, just when we were like, man, UCLA's looking a lot better. Utah Powerbomb!
Listen, all I want to say about Friday is that now Boston College is the only thing standing in between Clemson and winning the Atlantic yet again. I call on you, my fellow dudevolutionaries, to rally to the cause.
Wow.
Thank you.
Stick that chest out. Bring donuts on Fridays. That's all you got to do.
Eat donuts off your chest like a dude.
Oh, man. Because, you know, now we're getting games on like Fridays, and we'll try to be judicious about talking about all of those. But honestly, you know, it quite the achievement there for Boston College.
Yes.
Like, I just don't want to skate past that, but 3-1 in conference, y'all. Boston College having another quietly successful season. 6-2. Perfectly fine record for a football team to have at this point in the season. Saying that for possibly self-invested reasons. From Saturday, I'd like to start with the biggest game. And by that, I mean Kentucky, Missouri. Did you?
What a stupid piece of shit game this was. What an absolute crap fest. Oh, my God. Where to begin?
Can I just say that this? What's the final score? 15-14. When you see 15-14, that's a lot like seeing a baseball game that's like 2-1. You go, oh man, either that was a classic or it was a masterpiece of sludge like nothingness creeping forward.
At least a 2-1 baseball game might be fast. This was Jesus.
No, God, that's the problem with Missouri games, y'all. Missouri's like, hey, this is terrible and there's so much of it.
Here, this is what, if you're listening to this podcast and you are walking right now, I want you to pull up your step counter on your Fitbit or your phone or whatever and go get, let's say go get 40 feet just to be safe. All right. There, you just got a first down. Something that Missouri did not do in the entire second half. Not one, not even on accident. They didn't even find one lying around that was kind of like, half eaten and moldy. Not one. How?
Because Kentucky's good at football.
Kentucky is not, we won't let you get any first downs at all, good at football. Not even Bama is that good.
Quite evidently, Kentucky is the best defense in football.
Damn it, you're right. I can't argue with science.
No. So everyone after this game was like, oh my God, they burgled that one. They swindled that one, which yes, that part is correct. And everyone was like, oh, that what a ass game Kentucky played. Like, do you know how hard it is to hold Mizzou to 14 points at home in Columbia?
If you're a ranked team, it's not.
Well, who has done it this year?
Listen, overall, okay? No one. It's true. Kentucky played my working theory, by the way, Kentucky's Josh Allen had 2 sacks. And busted the ball out on both of them. He's been amazing. That defense has been magnificent. They've defeated such luminous offensive attacks as Florida's. All credit. Way to end the streak. However, I would also point this out. I think Buffalo drafted the wrong Josh Allen.
Well, yeah, granted.
That's my theory.
Greatest Josh Allen of all time. I'm just saying. Kentucky on one side of the ball played an incredible game. And because their offense isn't designed to score more than 15 points, I don't think we should hold that against them.
Not their fault.
Because the offense is designed to score exactly 15 points. Which, their past three games, 14, 14, 15.
And by the way, don't accuse Kentucky of a crime by stealing this game. One, it ain't theft if you're not looking, at least in Kentucky. Two, it wasn't yours if you didn't earn it. And let me say, when has Missouri earned it under Barry Odom? When? Because Gary Pinkle, I'm coming around to the notion that Gary Pinkle was like one of the five best coaches of all time. Because he got Missouri competitive. Because the guy who followed them, Barry Odom, how many wins does he have in the SEC this year? That's zero. None. Bupkis. Nada. All right. How many does he have against ranked opponents in 3 years? 3 years. How many has he got?
I'm not recalling any.
Not a lot.
Zero. For our listeners in English, that's zero. Also, Drew Locke hasn't beat anyone. Ever in the top 25. Ever.
He plays for Missouri. How's he supposed to do that? He's put up a lot of yards, is my
against
point.
Bad teams.
And Kentucky limited the number of yards.
I'm excited for the future. Missouri beats a ranked Florida and Drew Locke goes off. That jinx that Spencer is setting up here. So good job on that, first of all.
That's Todd Grantham's fault. That's not mine. I can't do anything about your emotional blitzing. I can't.
That's true.
I can't do anything about, you know, we got like a baby cornerback. Let's put him in single coverage in big situations. How'd that go? Poorly?
My point isn't that, you know, beating Mizzou, yes, that's nothing special. My point is holding Mizzou to this type of offensive game, that is impressive. Georgia gave up 29.
It is, which means that next week, if we're lucky, Kentucky beats Georgia by a score of 6-3. God, that'd be beautiful. If Kentucky full-on Wake Forests their way to an SEC East title like this, like by trying to do nothing. Oh, remember, by the way, Kentucky also didn't have Benny Snell for part of the game because he got in a fight with Eddie Gran, their offensive coordinator, and they kept him off the field, even though it was hobbling everything they were trying to do.
See, there's your excuse right there. They would have had 16 points.
This is not, however, the worst example of keeping somebody off the field and seeing it bite you in this week of college football. Come on down, Washington. Let's talk about decision making.
Okay, so I'm going to set you up for this because I know what happens, but this is theater. And I'm just going to be, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to be a good partner here, okay? Hey, the starter, that'd be, let's see, Jake Browning, right?
Yes. One of 18 Jakes on the quarterback depth chart at Washington.
That's true. Because he was replaced by another Jake, albeit very briefly and fatefully.
Redshirt freshman Jake.
Oh, so that'd be burning a red shirt, right?
No. He redshirted last year. And he has played, I think he played like mop-up duty here and there. So not his first time on the field, his first meaningful time on the field against a... In the midst of Washington having massive problems on offense, Chris Peterson, by his own admission, he kind of, in the postgame conference, he was sort of like, you know, it had nothing to do with Jake or his play. It was more just like, we needed to mix it up. And that's why we benched him. It's like, well, you did pick that part to mix up. You didn't just sort of say like, well, let's put all 11, let's just put the second team out there. See if that works. Redshirt freshman Jake goes 1 of 4 for 11 yards and a pick six that is Cal's only touchdown of the game in a game that ends with the final score, Cal 12, Washington 10.
That would be fateful for the Pac-12's chances, were it not for the lone stalwart, the last survivor. The one Pac-12 team now in a position to...
The bear who cannot get shot enough. The bulletproof bear.
This is the team who is both the bulletproof bear and the idiot who only has a six gun going after
right,
the bear.
Right. This is a bulletproof bear throwing arrows at you.
Yes. Who would that be? That's right. Your Washington State Cougars, who, facing Stanford, did the thing that you're supposed to do against Stanford, which is make them score points, which they hate to do. They just despise it. Like, the score gets into the 30s, and David Shaw's like, oh, gosh, how inefficient. Look at all this clock.
$14 wine. It's just as good as $45 wine.
Yeah, he's a Stanford guy. He might not say that.
That's okay. Not... Well, you know, maybe he understands value, you ass.
Listen, he understands luxury, and he understands that sometimes he'll even let KJ Costello throw for 300 yards. He's had to do that a lot recently because Stanford can't run the ball. Say that out loud. It feels wrong, but it's completely accurate. They can't really run the ball. And that didn't matter because Gardner Minshew and the Washington State Cougars kick a field goal as time expires to win 41-38. Gardner Minshew full on super bandana headband bro type guy, East Carolina transfer.
Is that the most Red Dead Redemption quarterback name of 2018?
Gardner Minshew.
Name's Gardner Minshew. I'm the town medic.
Dutch never got along with him.
Here's some free leeches. I'll see you in a week.
Oh, no. He's taught by Taylor Cornelius.
Yeah, Taylor. This train belongs to Taylor Cornelius. Y'all know that, right?
They call him Taylor Big Sleeves Cornelius. You can see his sleeves are rustling in the wind.
Don't laugh at the big sleeves of Taylor Cornelius. They were sprinting past Texas defenders.
The big old gusty sleeves. Just a flapping in the breeze.
Which I enjoy that whenever Mike Gundy wins, he decides to go off. He's King Go Off. Go Off King. Because he did. Because, one, he earned it a little bit. Taylor Cornelius came through, which was a bit of a redemption for him. To continue a theme accidentally, because Taylor Cornelius had been criticized a lot for underperforming for the 5-3 Oklahoma State Cowboys. Then Texas came to town and Taylor Cornelius went the hell off, and not just with his arm. No. Taylor Cornelius was also really instrumental on the ground. In fact, dragging his lumbering, is he 6 foot four? I'm going to call him 6'4". 6'4 body. Across the goal line for the game-winning score. So Gundy decided to go off, and Gundy had comments on Twitter, none of which I can say are inaccurate. Nothing, because he said, and I quote, crowd was fantastic. Homecoming was fantastic. I don't give a rat's ass about Twitter. Just boom, going there. Called it a platform to bitch and suggested that people who were hanging out on Twitter were, quote, late for a payment. I think he means light on a payment, but I don't know. Made his entire fan base sounds like freelancers, and their struggle is real, and I respect it. But yeah, called it a platform to bitch. Just went
and
off.
He also said throughout, he twice used the quote.
Which was represented.
That got transcribed.
Transcribed as fart noise.
If you're out there and you ever appear before the Supreme Court of the United States, please make that noise at least once so that somewhere somebody is going to have to, in an official Supreme Court transcript, put parenthetical fart noise.
What would they put as our resident legal scholar? Would they write like flatulence effect or what?
I honestly have no idea. That's kind of why
blows
I
blows raspberry.
Yes, is, yes, that... yes. Disrespectful mouth spitting. Chicken bat update. Hey Spencer, what's Texas ranked now?
Let's see, because I only follow my own rankings. I don't pay attention to the mainstream media's rankings. They're 15.
Yeah,
they're 15.
Yeah, they dropped 9 spots. Because of this. So you are already
How is Penn State still ahead of them?
Because they beat Iowa. They beat like a good Iowa team.
Fart noise.
I'm just saying, you are already on the precipice of moving into push territory And, oh, don't look at the upcoming schedule. Surely there are no more losses around the bend for Texas.
Phew, boy. Yeah, they're just playing that West Virginia that just put one through a Bear's eyes from 100 yards.
Just to go back to that, West Virginia did not have a punt or a turnover until there were 9 minutes left in the game.
I enjoy that like a true drunken gunslinger. West Virginia walked into a bar, got thrown through the window and took an ass kicking and was like, that's fair. I'll be back. Just strode in next.
Immediately stood up, dusted themselves off, pointed at someone and said, you.
Yeah, come on.
Actually, that's unfair. West Virginia, they did not dust themselves off.
No, rolled in dirty.
Can we play a quick game here? A quick who am I game?
Sure.
So I'm going to give you two the yards per pass attempt by game in conference play for one SEC quarterback, but I'm not going to tell you who it is. Your job is to figure it out. And these are in sequential order. I'm not going to give you the opponent either because that would make it probably too easy. But I'm just going to okay. But the last number I give you is from this week, okay? 4.5 yards per attempt. 3.8, 4.1, 2.5, 11 yards per pass attempt. Which SEC quarterback?
Kyle Shermer, Vanderbilt.
Okay, that's Spencer's guess. Jason, do you have a guess?
that's a really good one. Let me go Wake Forest.
Wait, this is an SEC quarterback.
Oh, sorry, I missed that part.
It's cool.
Hmm. it's not Kentucky.
Nope.
I'll tell you that much. Because they didn't pass.
This is Nick Fitzgerald. this is Nick Fitzgerald.
Holy Christ. That's Nick Fitzgerald.
Nick Fitzgerald, who had not two on the season, had not, against SEC opponents at least, thrown for even 5 yards an attempt in a game and lit A&M up. Have you seen his numbers against Jimbo? They're disgusting.
All he does is destroy A&M. I didn't know it was 11 an attempt. Damn.
Yeah.
Huh.
It was rough. It was, I mean, considering the final score, you're just sort of like, 28-13 seems like that. Nope. Nick Fitzgerald, 22 attempts, 241 yards passing. And ran for 88 yards and two touchdowns on top of it.
That is honestly the most we know nothing thing of the weekend.
Yes. It's I know real, that it's only really
one,
high up.
I know that only one thing was different, and Joe Moorhead said, I'm gonna let him throw. What? What were you doing? I don't know, go be loose. Football's so stupid sometimes. What'd you do? I don't know. I just told him to be cool.
That is kind of what A&M has done with Kellen Mond all season. So
that, I guarantee you, that is not what Kellen Mond has been told by Jimbo. Yeah, just go out there and hang loose. No, those words can't come out of his mouth.
But it is what happens frequently.
Spencer,
I think the problem is Jimbo don't know how to speak Texan yet. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So he comes up there and all bleep 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 bleep. I'll kill him on here.
That robot said I should fling it.
That twangy robot.
Like, I have no doubt that there are coaches who do that. Like, I know Dana Holgerson has just looked at Will Greer and been like, I don't know, man.
I don't know, man.
Just go out there and just, I go think win you should state. Just spin it.
Hey, who the hell are you?
Dana Holgerson is totally Red Dead Redemption name. Oh, my God.
Dana Holgerson. Ain't that a lady's name? Well, probably accounts for how angry he is all the time. Mad at the world.
But yeah, that's like, yeah, I know Dana said that, right? You know, Dana at one point just been like, I don't know, man, just go out there and spin it. And you know what? For a quarterback, I bet that's sometimes the best thing to hear, right? Like, you get broken down into like defenses and zones and thinking and assignments and systems. And eventually some dude, you know, just walks up and is like, yeah, you go out there and be a stud, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, man. We're all dying every second of every day. Who gives a shit?
Why don't you just go out there and put a bottle up someone's head? Just do it. Like, that's, I mean, that's for a jock, you know, like, in the moment. It's not like you're going to get technical or better when you're sitting there on the sideline, right? Like, I don't know, here, look at this iPad. No! You're a 19-year-old.
Shit, man, Northwestern lost to Akron, and they're going to play in the goddamn Big Ten Championship. Strategy don't mean damn thing.
No, like, it, like, I guess, like, in-game coaching, it's got to be like, yeah, don't throw it to the guy in the other jersey, and just go out there and be a stud. Just go do some shit, man. Feel it. that would really work on me if I were an athlete. You're like, yeah, I am pretty great. I'm just going to go out there and fuck it. Of course, that might be why I would throw 6 interceptions in a game. Feeling it. Shooter's got to shoot.
I mean, if you're, whenever you're around coaches, you hear, like, as the stakes raise, the instructions get simpler and simpler. You know, like, it starts out with, like, okay, boys, here's the schematics. You know, here, download this PDF. And then, like, when it all boils down, it's be an athlete, make a football play.
Go make a play.
It's got to be, even for defenders, you don't even have to be that articulate, right? You can just walk up to him and be like,
go fuck something up. Yeah, like, once you get down to it, hi, I make $10 million. I need you to fix my problems.
Like, the greatest quarterback story I've ever heard in terms of talking to his teammates is in the Super Bowl versus the Bengals, when Joe Montana walked back to the huddle and they got to go down and score, right? They got to go down and ruin Boomer Esiason's life. And they get back to the huddle and John Candy sitting in the stands, and Joe Montana gets in there and looks at him in the eye and goes, hey guys, look, John Candy. And they're all like, what? And he's like, okay, let's go. And they went down and scored. And I just loved it. Like, Joe Montana was either so inspired in that moment or such a genuine, brilliant idiot in the spot that he was like, hey, look, man, that's John Candy. That's awesome. Anyway, 38 right Falcon. Let's go.
Let's go jump Snake River Canyon.
Yeah, the psychology to me is amazing that they just told Nick Fitzgerald, who previously I had written had been throwing like he had a hoof for a hand, just goes out there and demolishes Texas A&M. I love football. It's a beautiful sport.
Can I ask a would you rather?
Sure.
Would you rather lose as a 24-point favorite,
mm-hmm,
or suffer a 28-point collapse?
Loses a 24-point favorite.
I'll take the 28-point collapse.
Well, good on both of you, because you're both Colorado fans.
Yes!
That's what Colorado did this weekend.
Go Buffs!
Against Oregon State. Rolled in as a 3+ touchdown favorite, tacked on a 4 touchdown lead on top of that, and then lost in overtime to Oregon State, a team that never wins anything.
How? Like, how?
Also, as David Hale, I believe it was David Hale, pointed out on Twitter, this is the second time Colorado has had a 4 touchdown lead evaporate in the past decade. Only 2 other teams have done this once. Colorado, you're incredible.
That's bad. You shouldn't do that.
Who are those? Do you know who those other 2 teams were?
One was UCLA. A&M against UCLA, excuse me. The other one, not off the top of my head, but...
Does Randy Edsall get any kind of bonus money for that?
Certainly. Those are copyrights.
Probably.
Those are copyrights.
I get $75. I get $75 because Colorado blew a lead. God damn it. That isn't your contract. You thought of everything, Randy.
Damn, he's a genius. He did get bonus money for losing to UMass at home because UConn led at the half. It appears they stuck some of those prop bet incentives in his contract to try to keep fans in the building after halftime. And like, how many people are like, hey, we're beating UMass. We might want to stick around for this.
I sincerely hope that as they were going to the locker room, Randy Edsall got his phone out and like sent a Venmo request to UConn Athletics that was like, okay, $5,000 sent for halftime lead sent.
He's just got an accountant following him around at all times. Accountant and a statistician working in tandem.
Yeah. Here, listen, if you just put another 300 miles on this company car, boom, $800 bonus.
That's gold status. You get gold status.
Coach Edsall, I know your linebacker broke his wrist breaking up that pass, but it did get us over the statistical threshold. So now you get another $1,000.
Yes.
Congrats, coach.
Yes. We did it.
The player will get a new wrist, maybe.
Brian, it's time. I'll stare it. It's fine.
About what? Florida, Georgia?
Yeah. Yeah. No,
okay. First of all, I didn't watch it just because I didn't feel like it and I watched other things instead. But like, am I supposed to, like, yeah, Georgia played better, has a better roster, is at least a year ahead of Florida in terms of like coaching and development and all those things. And like, I don't know. I don't have this game was close for a lot of it. Later than I would have honestly would have thought it would have been, and then it just wasn't, and that's fine, right? Like Florida can still win 9 games this season. That's a perfectly like reasonable goal, and think about, I remember how we were after they lost to Kentucky. I'm not going to be the asshole who goes straight back to that. I'm going to need a little time. I will get back there because I'm a broken person.
I think you can win 11 games this season. Counting a bowl, but yeah. Anyway,
listen, I've, whoever we're facing in a bowl game, that'll be hilarious.
Also, Jason, I don't have great feelings about that South Carolina game. That South Carolina, because I think South Carolina is like so good, but more just like, oh, South Carolina will make you hate everything so much all of the time.
No one has great feelings about South Carolina games. South Carolina fans, Will Muschamp, God in heaven, no one. Trust the process.
Okay.
What process? I don't know.
That's the thing
say. But
it's,
I mean,
it's a
like,
good way to change the subject.
Spencer, you covered it pretty well. Jake Fromm played well. Georgia remembered that they have multiple good running backs. Florida turned the ball over too many times.
Yeah. Did they still hit three? Yeah, we had three turnovers. You kind of look at the difference in this game and you go, oh, we have a Felipe Franks and we have a Todd Grantham and we have a CJ McWilliams. We have a baby corner. And, you know, just so happens when you have one of those, the other team sometimes notices that. They go, oh, that guy. He's new. So,
Gator fans got a some national media appreciation for their sanity this weekend in the This Week in Schadenfreude post. Alex noted that there was a lot of ranked teams lost this weekend, and he noted that for Florida, there really wasn't any anger. Everyone was just sort of like, they sounded like you two, basically. Like, yeah,
I only get mad when I get taunted by Chad, you know, like other Georgia fans, like, it's fine. I live here. I got a lot of Georgia fans in my life. They're fine. I don't like getting, you know, like by Bradford or by Tampson or Chad, you know. Those are the dudes that I can't stand.
The MAGA frat Avi.
Yeah, you know, don't talk shit to me if you're wearing a baby fedora. Don't. It's not going to go well for you. I'm not even going to be cool about it. I'm just going to be like...
The only goal for Florida in this game was to not become a meme. And they did a good job because they weren't the one with a professor shirtless reading a book in the middle of the game.
Reading a book called, like, what? Dark Places.
Dark Places. It's about a satanic murder
cult. About a satanic murder cult. And the guy was like, well, it's better than watching this. We're not making up a joke. A professor at Florida State took his shirt off, went to the top of the stadium, pulled out a book, and was like, I'm just going to get some sun.
I'm just going to get some sun and some reading in.
Dabo's Boys. That's a Christian murder cult.
Yeah, he's like, well, I'm just going to read about what I'm watching.
When Clemson rolls into town, your ass is getting blessed.
Also, Willie
to death.
After the game, Willie Taggart was like, some of the guys quit. And it's like, yeah, man, the professor up there with his shirt off reading a book. I'm pretty sure he quit.
Yeah, and I did check in with some of my older Florida State fans, and the reactions were displeased, but not racist. They're doing real well. They're doing really, really well.
That's progress.
Yeah, like that's my best outcome for a Florida State fan when I talk to them. It's like, they're displeased, but not busting out the racism. Okay, good, good. That's always, we got real problems with him. Just, you know, I know he's rebuilding. We love Willie. We do. It's great. But, you know, you can't be happy with this. And I'm like, that's good. That's good. You could just stop there. Stop there. This comment is neutral. It's good. Stop. Just stop there.
Every good stump speech is shortened to the point. You don't wander. You don't wander off message.
And includes a.
Yes. Yes. Correct.
And did that fart noise. Yeah. I wouldn't even like, to me, everything. To get to, like, I think of Florida fans in the same boat, but with slightly different differentials, right? Is this, you go, it's year one. What a curious result. Ta-da. Mm-hmm. That's it. It's all really all you can do because it's year one of doing things drastically differently and rebuilding from a not great spot. It just so happens that, you know, Florida's been like, huh, well, look, we made it run with the parts we had in the garage. And Florida State's like, we had to tie it to a donkey. And pull it out of the stitch.
A poor donkey.
A poor donkey hide.
Does year one explain Arizona 44, Oregon 15, though?
No! No!
You know what explains that? Oregon podcast Big Duck Energy, which tried to tell Oregon not to do this. Forfeit this game.
Yeah.
Call in
sick. We did, didn't we?
Forge a document. Miss your flight. Vote to evict Arizona from the Pac-12. Leave the Pac-12 yourself.
Yeah.
Do whatever it takes to never go to Arizona.
Don't go to Tucson. Don't.
It's where your two greatest seasons in school history, you suffered a loss there. You suffered the most catastrophic loss in school history there. In like multiple ways all at once. And now, you know, hopes aren't super high this year, but you still had a shot in the Pac-12 race, and now you don't. Why? Because you played at Arizona.
Yeah, this is, I think it's the ducks need moisture. Ducks need moisture. They don't do well in arid climes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't ever hear sand off a duck's back.
Yeah, you just did, though, and it sounded wrong, didn't it? It sounded really wrong. Most disappointing part about Oregon in this game is that Arizona held them to under 100 yards. And when Oregon can't run the ball, you can beat up on Justin Herbert, especially because he's real tall and visible-like. And that's
he can't. I see you.
Yeah,
I see
you. Man. How do I find Justin Herbert, man? I just look up.
I can't get my wanted level to go down. Yeah, man, they can see you.
Yeah.
You know how pissed off a duck would be if you dump sand on it? Like, ducks are mad enough already. Got sand in it, all its crevices. Oh, yeah. He would die. That duck would kill you.
Fuck so, you. Yeah. We're going golfing now, duck.
And ducks don't play well angry. So this is just backing up my point.
Don't... it's just frantic sputtering.
Yeah.
Kind of like Oregon.
Yeah, don't, man. This is bad. Again, in this whole take out the trash element, this whole like, oh, that's what you were. Yeah. Yeah, man. This is that loss to Stanford. Looking a little more explicable every single day, you know?
Yeah. Like some people, we sold this as a potential blood week. Potential.
Yeah.
We didn't get there. But it was definitely a heave-ho to some suspect clutter week.
None more so than USF. Like, good job getting...
Other than Texas.
Well, sure, but at least Texas, you sort of understood, like, okay, they have put some results up that are impressive. Like, I get how people sort of got here. USF...
I get why they're ranked.
Yeah.
Sure.
USF being ranked was simply a matter of, like, well... you have accomplished the assignments as we gave them to you, ignoring how and why you did them the way that you did. We have to rank you.
USF was a spreadsheet ranking, just if zero, must rank.
Yes. And then Houston said, okay, well, let's make that a one, and let's make it a decisive one. A mean,
Houston,
brutal
yeah.
destruction one.
Yeah, yeah, they scored
57-36, and Houston was without the best football player in the country.
Who, prior to the game, Joseph Duarte of the Houston Chronicle posted that Ed Oliver was going to be held out of the game versus South Florida. To which, in a quote tweet, Ed Oliver pregame said, "Said who? I'm playing." Then, Then Ed Oliver didn't play.
And that's why you always check the health portal. When your doctor sends you a text message that says check the health portal, you check the health portal.
What a magnificent... And then responded... He responded to this with crying laughing emojis.
You could also take those four words a different way. Like, he was deciding whether or not to play, and then he said to the, you know, the team doctor or a coach, like, who I'm playing? They said USF. He said, oh, okay, they don't need me.
Or he accidentally just put the question mark in the, who said I'm playing?
Yeah, Houston, by the way, if you have not watched them on offense, do. They are currently back to their historical rightful roost in the top five. They are the second most prolific by points offense in the nation. And they snap the ball with like 38 seconds on the clock. It's like, go.
Did we have any Sandman worthy games that we should be paying attention to that we haven't talked about?
The trend held in Notre Dame Navy. The Mids covered the final 24-point spread. I advised you to invest in Oklahoma State. Those of you who did can now afford larger homes. Let's see, going through. Let me actually pull up my damn sheet. It was a horrible week for the under. Wazoo Stanford blew past. Mitsu Old Dominion blew past. The Iowa game blew past the under. These are the end times.
While you look, let's take everybody.
TCU and a loss to Kansas also went over. TCU lost to Kansas via a butt fumble.
Fart noise. Yeah. Can I? Whoo! This is, again, for those who are not following along, or maybe you want to relive the moment for us. I enjoy that play-by-play now is broken down play-by-play. You can click on a box score, and it tells you exactly how everything happened. A beautiful thing for fans of narrative.
Unless it's full of ESPN lies. Sometimes it's full of ESPN lies.
Yes. You know, you can see. For fans of narrative, it's great. It's like a little story. You can follow along. Unless you're following an Iowa box score. Because then we just get into some surreal Haruki Murakami story with a disappearing girl.
It's magical realism, okay? It's a well-recognized field of literature.
Because Iowa got out to a 14-7 lead. What you say? Oh, well.
Just like Iowa's trophy case, 100 years of solitude.
Wow. Loving the time of Cornera. No, this is how they got to 14, because you go, oh, no, it was two TDs. And I don't know how Iowa lost this game, by the way, because when Iowa does this, it should be a lock. There's no way they should give up their birthright like this, because it went 2-0 Iowa, got a safety on Penn State, 5-0 Iowa, which has happened before. Then it went 12-0. Oh, man, they scored a normal touchdown. No. That would be, I believe if you look it up, that would be not Nathan, not their quarterback. It would be Colton Rastetter throwing to Sam Brinks. Colton Rastetter is not a quarterback. Sam Brinks is not a wide receiver. It's a big old defensive lineman, actually. And he's receiving a pass from, I believe, the backup punter on this fake. Yeah.
A real floater, too. Just a real lazy lob. He did not hold X. He tapped X.
Yeah, he tapped X. It was out of his hand fast. It was an impressive release time for a special teams player. Yeah, that's how they got to, because Iowa didn't throw for their standard starting quarterback. The conventional thrower did not score a point. That gets them to 12-7, right? Which you go, oh, that's fascinating. Well, wait, you said they got to 14. That's right. They got another safety, y'all. They got a safety on Penn State. And I think this was all automatically set Iowa at a disadvantage, because remember, there's only one other person in the Big Ten who can really compete in terms of teams, what weird score, That's James Franklin, which is how they came back to win. Oh, that and Nate Stanley also having, I think, calling back again, trying to shoot a bear with a tiny gun that only made the bear mad. Nate Stanley's line is one of the most spectacular achievements I've seen in college football this year. It is not bad. It is not good. It is merely remarkable. He was, as an Iowa quarterback, 18 for 49. They almost threw the ball 50 times for, I think, 18 to 49. Oh, man, he must have thrown for like 270, 300, 205 yards. Average 4.2 per completion.
What was the most game-changing pass that he threw?
I believe that would be an interception.
And where did the interception take place?
I believe that interception took place as they were driving in the end zone.
On the Penn State 3. On the Penn State 3,
yeah.
Iowa said, yep, throw the ball. Down six with about 3 minutes to play. By the way, it was first and goal, not third or fourth and goal.
Yeah. Yeah, after marching like a classic Iowa march down the field.
I will kill this legendary bear!
That was Iowa's most throws in a game since 2014.
Jesus. Sometimes the bear at you, Kirk Ferentz. It's like, I don't care if you're rich or poor, you're on the dinner plate.
All right, should we kill it there?
Hang on, just one last thing.